I'm not going to give you a chance, but stop me if you've heard this. Jesus took Peter, James, John up the mountain, then Jesus glowed, then Moses and Elijah were there, and then Peter offered hospitality or did something because he didn't know what else to do, and then God's voice came out in a bright cloud, said, "This is my son, the beloved, with him I am well pleased, listen to him." Then Peter, James, and John were scared and they dropped to the ground. Then Jesus told them to get up and not be afraid. Then Moses, Elijah, and the shiny God cloud were gone. Then Jesus told them to keep quiet about the vision until he had been raised from the dead. See, you didn't stop me. Maybe you didn't stop me because you'd heard it before. Maybe I just spoke really quickly. That's probably it, right? Is Matthew 17, 1 through 9 maybe your favorite Bible passage? This part there, the part where Jesus glowed? Maybe you don't remember me preaching on this particular passage at least 5 times because transfiguration happens every year. You remember once? Once a year, yes, every year. It was an extraordinary experience that's described in the Bible. Glowing faces and clothes, dead guys talking, cloud voices. This is something that the disciples would remember the rest of their lives. Peter, James, and John were affected. And then Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he told them that way later. This time he said, don't tell anyone what you've seen. They didn't keep quiet. There are other times that Jesus actually told people to keep quiet. In Matthew 16, then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. That's also in Mark 8:30 and Luke 9:21. In Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I do choose, be made clean. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to a priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And that's also in the Gospel of Mark and Luke. And then in Mark, there was a time Jesus, they brought a deaf man to him who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay hands on him. And he took him aside in private, away from the crowd, put his fingers in his ears, he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened. His tongue was released and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered him to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. See, Jesus told people to keep quiet, but they didn't keep quiet. And I get, maybe he was trying to keep them quiet because he didn't want to have so much news coming out for when he was going to Jerusalem. Or maybe he knew they were going to talk anyway. Peter, James, and John didn't keep quiet. We know that because we know the story. They had to tell somebody. But that's not actually the point that I want to make. Jesus told them something else. He said, don't be afraid. There are many other times in the Bible when Jesus says, do not be afraid. Again, in Matthew, this time in 14, after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. That evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came, walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, it's a ghost! And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And that's also in Mark 6 and John 6. And then in Matthew 28, they left the tomb quickly and with great fear and joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and go to Galilee. There they will see me. If this has happened with you, how often have the words, do not be afraid, or more colloquially with us, don't be scared, sunk in right away? Just because someone says, hey, snap out of it, doesn't mean that you do. You know, instructions like, hey, chill out, or don't be scared, or stop being so dramatic, always, okay, usually have the opposite effect. When you're afraid, you're afraid. For whatever the reason is. And feeling your emotions is way better than trying to stifle them. Just remember that. I'm sure that Peter, James, and John were still afraid. But that's also not the main point I want to make today. Jesus told them something else. It's related to the part where he told them to keep quiet about the experience. He said, keep quiet about the vision. That's in today's reading. He said that their experience was a vision. What do you make of that? Is the way we've been brought up, maybe you're brought up in the church and you know you're brought up with, this is the way it is and you have to believe every single word. Okay, here's the word. Tell no one about this vision. So am I saying that the experience wasn't real? Am I saying that it didn't happen? Am I attacking the Bible? No. I'm just saying that in our Bible reading for today, Jesus called the experience a vision. And the Greek word that's translated as vision here is horama. It means, it appears in the New Testament about 13 times. In all but one case, the word is translated vision, including this case. Other Bible translations don't necessarily translate the verse from this morning's reading the same way, though. In the New International Version that is read in most evangelical churches, you will find the NIV in the pews. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone about what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." In the New Living Translation, which was a translation that was sort of based on the Living Bible from the 70s, but then back to the Greek and the Hebrew, and try to make it sound more like the Living Bible, New Living Translation. As they descended the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until I, the Son of Man, has been raised from the dead." The New Century Version, very understandable version. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone that they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. In the Message, which is a paraphrase, it's very understandable, but not a translation. It's not great for scholars to use, but it's great to try to understand. Coming down from the mountain, Jesus swore them to secrecy. "Don't breathe a word of what you've seen. After the Son of Man is raised from the dead, you're free to talk." And then there's the King James Version, one that many see as the only true translation of the Bible for English. And it says this: "And they came down from the mountain. Jesus charged them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.'" And then the New King James Version, the Revised Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, and others use vision. It's, I think, the most correct. But what about the other chapters in the Bible that recount this? The transfiguration, the fancy name for when Jesus glowed. In Mark, same story, Jesus tells the disciples to keep quiet about what they have seen. The Greek word there is eido, to see. It can be something that really happened, or it can be a vision. Can be either. In Luke 9, Jesus doesn't tell them to keep quiet, but the end of the reading says that the disciples kept quiet in those days about what they had seen. In that case, the word is horaro. Horaro, related to horama, a vision. So, here we go. I've told you all of that. What's the point of this? And is it the point I want to make today? Second question is yes. But here it is. The Bible is filled with wonder. It's filled with mystery. It's filled with people who spent their entire lives not getting it. It's filled with people who asked questions, doubted, believed, stopped believing, struggled to understand, kept trying. And it seems the ones who knew, without a doubt, what the answers to all the questions were met with disdaining words from Jesus. So what happened on the mountain with Peter, James, John, Jesus? The Bible says it was a vision. When it doesn't call it a vision, it just says that they'd seen something. I think it's important to ask the question, Do I have to know exactly what happened? And then ask, how did this extraordinary experience affect the disciples? How does their experience affect folks today? How does it affect me? Because the disciples came down from the mountain forever changed because they experienced something extraordinary. The Bible verses describe Jesus being transfigured, transformed, changed. But I think that its far-reaching effect is to teach that God is in the process of transforming us from whatever we have been into whatever we are becoming. And transformative work in our lives is something very, very, very good. I don't know how everyone here is being transformed today, but I want to offer just this smallest piece of advice about how to react to it. Peter didn't understand what was going on, but he reacted in a way that seemed most natural. He offered hospitality to the guests that he saw. His first instinct was to show kindness. So may that be the first instinct we have too. As we change, may the first instinct we have too be kindness and goodness, no matter who we are or where we are on life's journey. This week, as we're thinking about the transformative work that God is doing in our lives and observing it, adjusting to it, being unnerved by it, whatever it is, this week, pay attention to the instinct to show kindness. And at least a couple times, do something that expresses that kindness to people around you. Send a card to somebody for no reason other than just kindness. Tip the person who served you lunch at a restaurant double or triple what you usually do, just out of kindness. Reach out to someone you've been estranged from and start a conversation. See, if you were here last week and I said to contact two people and ask them how things are going, someone you haven't talked to for a while, someone who hasn't been a part of the St. Paul's family for a while, now you get to do two things. So let's say that if you didn't do anything last week, now you have four. You have four things to do, four different people to reach out to. Reach out or just start. Just start. Maybe it's just going to be one this week. Reach out to someone you've been estranged from and start a conversation. Show kindness. I hope that your week is dazzling. Amen.